our School of Perfection today. Please be seated. God bless you. Have a seat. Thank you very much. We want to thank God for His awesome mercies and kindness and patience once again as we assemble here today under the covering of the Fathers, under the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Shepherd and Bishop of our souls. Welcome all of us here in this auditorium tonight, and also those who are joining with us wherever you are all over the face of the earth as you join with us tonight. Your eyes also, we see the King. Amen. And all of you see Him as you see Him in His Word by the Spirit. You'll be transformed, changed from image to image, from glory to glory, into His very likeness in the name of Jesus. Amen. To welcome you all, as I've said, we want to thank God for the privilege again to assemble under the Lordship of Jesus Christ and the covering of fathers to come to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ. For He said in this third day, that He's going to be perfected. He was not speaking of Himself, but He was speaking of the body that He left here on earth. And so it is our great privilege and great honor to experience in this third day the perfection and the fullness of Christ in our bodies, in our souls, in our members, and yea, even in our circumstances. The Lord says, on the third day, I shall be perfected. And so we're trusting as we speak tonight, I'm trusting as I speak tonight, the Lord speaking through me, each one of us will be transformed, we're made much more like the Lord Jesus in the name of Jesus. And so we're going to model our lives. Jesus is not only the pattern of our lives, in other words, we follow all of His example and all the things He did, we did. But also, He is our goal. And that's another part that much of the church is not aware of, in the sense that it's not taught in very many places. Not only is God, the Lord Jesus, our pattern, but He's also the goal to which we aspire. Before He said, like I said just earlier, I said, in this third day, I, meaning His body on the earth, shall be perfected. Because at that point, at that time, He was perfected. But He was going to leave the earth and leave behind a body that also had to be perfected and become as He is in the earth. And so this is our pattern and is also our goal. And so in order to do this, to be fully conformed, and I choose my words carefully, to be fully, not just partially, not be like Him, but be as He is on earth. Amen? As He is in heaven, we are going to be here on earth. Tell your neighbor, if you believe that, give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Amen? And this is our goal. And so that's why in this day, we are going to be doing the greater works. Amen? That day, as we all know or should know, if you've been following us on this platform for some time, you know that that day is now imminent, for we are truly in the third day. And so in order to partake of this wonderful third day, this promise of the Lord to us that as He is, so are we in the earth, and that the works He did, we're going to be doing greater, we must do use what we call the seven pillars of wisdom. And briefly, before we go into the word proper, they are honesty and humility of heart, battle and communion prayer, binding the devil, confessing the word, meditating the word, doing the word, and fasting and prayer, which makes you more humble. So as a cycle, it operates, and gradually we are more and more conformed to the... Oh, there it is. Okay. Yes, the fear of the Lord, praying the Spirit with all kinds of prayer, binding the devil, and we confess the word, we meditate upon the word, and then also do the word. And this is also amplified by living a fasted life, which makes you more humble, so you can have more of the fear of the Lord. And it goes as a cycle round and round until we become perfect in His perfect will. Let's bow our heads to pray. Father, we come in the wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, what a great privilege. Thank You once again for the honor, Lord, to stand in Your presence, Lord God, to come to hear Your word. We say thank You, Lord God, for You come to show us afresh, Lord God, as we, Lord, share Your word today, how to become more like You day by day, being transformed, Lord, into Your very likeness, from glory even unto glory. We thank You, Lord God, because, Lord, this is the hour and the time You have promised us, that when we see all the things that are going upon the earth begin to come to pass, is that we should look up, but then we know that our salvation is nigh. And so we thank You for this day of redemption that's come upon us, Your church. As we come to share Your word tonight, Father, I ask for fresh mercy. Truly it's not of him that willeth, neither is it that runneth, but You that sheweth mercy. And I ask, Lord God, fill my mouth afresh, Lord God, with the power of Your Spirit, so that as I deliver this word, out of my belly will flow rivers of living water. Words of comfort, words of consolation, words, Lord, to encourage, words, Lord God, to inform and to inspire. And Lord, these words will go forth as spirit and life, working upon the hearts of all those who hear me now and those who hear me, Lord, in this body of Christ and also internationally through, Lord God, the means of electronic means. And Lord, those who will hear this word later, that this word will be a word of refreshing, a word of encouragement, a word, Lord, of light and life, to transform and change us, to become much more conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus, and thereby partake of the goodness of your house and of the glory that is imminent in this day in the name of Jesus. I further ask as I speak, your power and your presence will fill the air, breaking every yoke, meeting every need, causing our bodies, our wills to be more enlightened by revelation knowledge, our emotions to be much more controlled by the power of the fruit of love, and our wills more humble, submitted to your will in the name of Jesus. I further ask that I speak, Lord God, your power and presence will fill the air, bringing understanding to all those who hear this word now and those who hear it on later. And your kingdom will truly come, and your will be done in our hearts and our lives as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, as I say, we welcome you all in the name of the Lord Jesus. I've had the privilege of having a little bit of time to put down one or two things that I believe the Lord will have us to say. And then we'll go straight to the word tonight. The first word that I believe the Lord showed me as I was discussing, and Pastor was exhorting me when he was speaking with me, that we're going to have the mind of Christ. That is an awesome word to even bring out. How can a human being like you and I have the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ? It sounds like like blasphemy. Thank you, Pastor Kuri. Sounds like, but how can a human being have the mind of God? How is it possible for a human being like you and I, with all the frailties that are imminent, are apparent in our lives, seek to have the same mind, think and operate in exactly the same way God does? Well, that's, the Bible talks about the mystery of the gospel. That's the mystery of the gospel. It's not a mystery to us anymore in this house. We understand now by the books that this wonderful situation is, even though it's a mile deep, is about to come upon us in imminence. We are already in that season. All you have to do is just look around. The Bible says, when you see all the things that are going upon the earth, you know, diverse places, famines. I was watching this morning, I saw the whole of Kentucky's underwater. I mean, I don't know if that's ever happened before, but I can't remember when it's been so bad. People were actually dying. You're talking all kinds of things everywhere. The whole world seems like it's going mad. But let me tell you what is it saying. It's called that. It says, the whole of the creation is travailing in birth together until. That until is the coming of the Christ in us. And it's our rising by the grace and mercy of God as the Lord comes in us that will turn all this around as we enter into the imminent manifestation of the sons of God. Amen. And let's say, folks, it's not that far away. Amen. Amen. I don't know if you believe that. We were, last time Pastor was talking about the redemption of the brain. It sounds like an incident, a very unusual topic for a title to preach. Does the brain need redemption? Is the brain not supposed to be the highest part of the human being? Amen. Yes, the physical being. But also, the spiritual being that God made us originally had a brain that was without limitation. Absolutely without limitation. How do we know this? We see this in the book of Genesis. Amen? Remember the book of Genesis when God made all the animals? And the man that he made, hello, in his image, in his likeness, by Adam, that man was made exactly God as God would have made him, word God to be man himself. And we see the wonderful, can you find that scripture for me, please, somewhere in Genesis? It says, Adam named all the animals. God brought them to him one by one, one by one. And Adam gave a name, and he didn't name one animal twice. Now, can you imagine all the flora, all the fauna of the earth, and one man, out of one brain, gave a name to each and every one. But it says, whatever he named it was what that name was. That itself tells us the kind of goal that God had for man when he was created. We know what happened. You know, the devil came in and he took away that by causing man to sin. But we're trusting that as this day approaches, this new day that we have is about to dawn upon us, all that is going to be completely and totally reversed in the name of Jesus. In fact, it's already being reversed. It's just a completion of that reversal. God is already working upon the mind of human beings to become like Jesus. Amen? And more and more each day, we're seeing evidence of it. Amen? You don't know what I'm thinking about. I had the privilege of being part of a conversation that had to do with LifeWort. All those children that got A stars, 9 A stars, 10, 8 A stars, 7 A, that is not natural. That is supernatural. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. You may not know about it, but if and it's not just once, it's a consistent thing. It's been happening for years now. It's almost like one is so used to it now. Oh, yeah, that's what you expect from life. Praise the Lord, amen? But see, that's just a tiny sign of what God will do, is doing, and will yet do with the human brain. Amen? To redeem that brain from all the nonsense, the sin, and the substance that is in there hindering that person's potential as an individual. He's not only going to do it for the children we've spoken about. Yes, thank God. But he's also going to do it for us. Who came from a further back, way back further. You see, those children, they're more like, you know, they're the first fruits of the new generation, as it were. We who have been steeped in sin over many years, God is reversing our own brain to amen. And we're going to also manifest that same redemption in this day in the name of Jesus. And we know the time is near, amen. Because it said that when all these things that we're experiencing in the earth now, all these weather signs, all the pestilences, all the diverse, you know, things that are going on. So when you see these things begin to come to pass, say, look up, because your redemption is nigh. Amen? And so we say, we're trusting that in very short while, maybe a little bit, a few months from now, maybe 2 or 3 months of that harvest, God's Spirit without measure will be made manifest in and through us like it was in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And this is the goal that we're working towards in this place. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10 to 11. Amen? Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. The word says, always bearing about in the body, in that is our physical body, the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the intent that the life also of the Lord Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which are always, which live, he says, you're already living, you're already in that life, you're already zoeing, as it were, by the life of God, are always delivered to death for the Lord Jesus' sake, for a reason. That death is not physical death, but death of the sin nature in our hearts, amen, and our body. Said that the life also of the Lord Jesus might be made manifest where? In our mortal flesh. That the life also of the Lord Jesus may be manifest in our mortal flesh. Well, that means that the essence of God, the life of God, the nature of God, the thing that was in Adam that made Adam like God is being restored gradually to our physical bodies over time. And so God is now bringing us forth. We are the first of the first fruits, hallelujah, of this manifestation. He's bringing us now forth in this season, bringing us now forth into this time to experience the full harvest of all that we've been sowing into our minds, our wills, our emotions, our physical bodies all these years. Amen. Amen. And we've been doing this all these years just in obedience to what the Word of God has said. You pray in the Spirit. First of all, you confess your sins, like we said earlier. Confess your sins. Have a honest and humble heart. Then you pray in battle prayer. You travail to remove that sin nature from our bodies and souls. Then you pray communion prayer all throughout the day. We're muttering the Word of God. The pastor is teaching us on Sunday. Muttering the Word of God and praying the Spirit throughout the day. Binding the devil. Confess the Word. Meditate on the Word. And then we do the Word. And then we humble ourselves by fasting and prayer, making us more humble so we can be more honest and more humble of heart. Having done this all these years, the time has now come for the manifestation. I believe that in this coming tabernacles, with all of our hearts, we're going to see that manifestation in the name of Jesus. So this is it. And so we're now believing that as we get more and more along the time to this manifestation, God is going to be showing us more and more of what the human brain can accomplish. The pastor was writing to us this day in Weekly Raymond, Daily Raymond, says the human brain has about 86 billion neurons. That means that 86 billion connections in our human brain alone. So making it of incredible photographic memory. So many things the brain can do, photographic memory, incredible language learning ability, musical ability, all these abilities will now begin to come to the fore. because we are in that season. Amen? It is very important for us to key into it now. So all these abilities, the language learning ability, mathematical ability, musical ability, artistic ability, all these will now be made manifest, not in one, not in two places, but in one person at the same time. I think there was a bit of, and I would say a bit of unbelief there. Can you imagine that? You need to process that. We're not talking about he has incredible language learning ability, I have incredible mathematical ability, and Pastor Wally has incredible musical ability, thank God for his music. You know, we're talking about in one person. All that ability by the power of the life of God in a brain that is completely devoid of the sin nature. Sometimes when you meditate upon these things, you say, can these things be so? Thank you, Pastor Carl. So be it unto me according to your word. Amen? But we found out the reason why much of this has not been achieved in one person thus far without all the negative effects is simply because there's sin in our bodies and there's still sin in our minds, our wills, and emotions. But I trust the Lord. You know, when I heard about that exemplary result of life for a couple of days ago, I thought to myself, I say to Yoruba, says, because you see, they don't come from our background. Their background is holy. That's what they've been doing since they were born day one. They came to church. They've been prayed upon, has been laid upon. They've been in an environment where they're sequestered from all these things that seek to derail young people. And look at the results. Not just one, but tens of them. And then it's been consistent over years. It's like the Lord is just telling, just look at these children. See what they're doing. Now, can you imagine a child of that is like that until the age of, say, 30, 40. What that person would have done would have exceeded anything that anybody at this time can imagine. And that's exactly where God is taking us. If you ask those children, they'll tell you want to be engineers. They want to be, in fact, some things I don't even know what they mean. They say, that's what I'm doing. Something from the analyst. I said, correct. Whatever you want is yours. In Jesus' name, amen? Well, it doesn't have to be them only. Amen? It could be you and I also. Amen? This is not only for the young folks, but it's for all of us. Amen? And so, the Bible says, give me Romans chapter 8, verse 20. Yes, thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm trusting that God will see us through. Yes, it says, for the creation, verse 20, says the whole of creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it. And we know, this is, give me this in NIV, please. We know that the whole of creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. So the whole of creation has been, as it were, under a burden up until now, which that burden is gradually being removed and rolled back by the perfect church that God is bringing forth in the earth. We ourselves are the first place where that rolling back must take place. Amen? So that's going on as we speak now. That the whole of creation has been groaning in the pains of childhood right up to the present time. But not only so, but we ourselves who have what? The first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly. And somebody say there's nothing like groaning. You know, when you speak to people and you know they don't understand, not because they don't want to, but because they just don't understand, you have a certain sympathy. But when you speak to people who ought to know, by reason of what? Time. By reason of use, then your sympathy level drops mightily. Amen? The Bible says, give me 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. For we know, now this is not a supplication, it's not a supposition. It says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved when we die, when we go to be with God, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Folks, what does that mean, really? What God is saying is that there is a body, hallelujah. There is a body that God has prepared, says I prepare, for you and I, that is not here on earth now. Hello? Where are you now? On earth. So what does that mean? That means that there is a prototype body that God has set for you, for me, for everyone who believes, that is in heaven till now, that when the time comes, says we have a body, a house, a building, or not made with hands, eternal, where in the heavens. Give me the next verse there. Next verse. Verse 2. For in this we groan, this present body, this present house, this earthly vehicle we groan, earnestly desiring to be what? Clothed upon. You know what that means right now? You're naked, as far as God is concerned, because you're not wearing his glory. What did God do when Adam lost the glory? He had to cover him with animal skin. That wasn't God's will. That wasn't God's will. It was never God's will. But we're getting back to where he was. Now it says, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon what? With our house or our tabernacle, which is in heaven. So we have a house here, which we are in now. We have a house created in the heavens that God is going to clothe us with at the appointed time. Amen? Amen? So what is this? We now wait eagerly for this clothing upon, which is called the complete redemption of our bodies. Amen? And this is what all of us, by the grace and mercy of God, are trusting to see in a few months' time now. I don't know if you can believe it. I've been saying it since, I think it was last month, God said to me, there are 4 months of the harvest. You can believe it? July, August, September, October. Now there are 3 months. So I'm believing with all my heart. So this is it. So the whole of creation, including our present bodies, are presently subject to this frustration. We want to do the will of God, we can. We want to, you know, move in the spirit, but something just keeps you pulling back. It's this body. It's this body. But there's coming a day of redemption. Amen? When your present physical body will be clothed upon. And Bible says, in an instant, in a twinkling of an eye, what is it? We shall all be changed. All those who have their eyes turned up and whose hope is towards he that is in the heavens. Amen? And this release is imminent. Amen? Now, we'll ask the question, why is it like this now? And I said again, it's because of the sin nature. You see, this, like I said, Adam was the prototype. Help me, Lord. Adam was the prototype. Everything that God wanted for man was potentially in Adam. Everything. He was made in the image and the likeness of God. All he had to do was to continue to eat the fruit of the tree of life until he learned how to completely become like God. Amen? So that potential latent in Adam, latent in him in the Garden of Eden, is now going to be restored. Oh, hallelujah. Is now going to be restored. It sounds like fable now. And you know, fables are things that you imagine. You can't see. It's a fable. It's not physical. It's a fable. But when it comes, and it is coming, that's what the whole of creation is waiting for. As I was saying today, I was just looking at the news. I said, Lord, have mercy on us. Thank God for the good things God is doing. We don't take the days of beginning, like that. But there's a lot of angst in the world. People are wondering, what's happening? Everybody's afraid. You step out of your house, flood, zoom. You go into the market, somebody comes in, God forbid, a machine gun and just mows everybody down. Amen? And you may think it's just there, over there. I don't want to name the place. It's not just there. It's here too. Hello? The other day I was watching Pastor Jay send me a documentary. I said, Lord, have mercy. I had no idea that this was going on in Nigeria. I said, I had absolutely no idea. But those that are there, are they better? Are they worse than us? They're human beings also. What is God saying? God is saying, guys, you need to step up. Every one of us. I'm speaking to myself too. That this thing is the only way that the whole earth is going to be delivered. The Bible says the whole earth creation will be delivered by the sons of God. Amen? So we see that this is the essence of what we're here today to discuss. Restore to God. God is restoring to us the full latent potential of Adam that he had in the Garden of Eden that enabled him to name all the animals and not give one name twice. Amen? The human brain, the redemption of this brain. And you know, everything else follows the brain because the brain is the head. So everything else in the physical body takes its instructions from the brain. So if you deal with the brain and deal with the body, you're perfect and complete. Amen? Amen. And so this is what's going to happen, folks. So when this happens, other than we'll see this redemption, because we're going to manifest it. Amen? Give me Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45 and verse 13. Hallelujah. God is building a new creation of human beings, never before existed. And it will never be again until the likes of many generations. Amen. There's not going to be anything like it. It's going to be tremendous. And you know the wonderful thing about it, folks, that I am so glad for. I may not be able to express it well, but I find it so wonderful that somewhere along the line, I don't know about you, this is what I think about. God looked at one guy that was going astray somewhere. I was going astray just like everybody else. I said, I can use that guy. I can make him like me. I don't know about you, but I think about it. And whatever it takes. Whatever. She can't die to the flesh, isn't it? We will die. She can't take the jila run. I'm sorry, I'm speaking to you about that. Is it that we should die to the flesh? I will die. I didn't hear anybody say, don't say amen for me. Say amen for you. When you confess, say your amen. I say amen. Is it to die to the flesh? I will die. If you can join me, join me. Is it to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and pray 2 hours and then go and continue to pray? I will pray. As often and for as long as necessary. Amen? Is it to fast and pray? I will fast. I will also pray. 2 days, siloba and sin. But let me tell you, folks, there's nothing on the earth, nothing that we give up that can even begin to remotely approximate what God is going to return back unto us. And it doesn't mean it with the way that we human beings do. It's just good measure. Press down, shake it together, and running over. Somebody's got to take that promise to the bank, folks. Why you and not me? Or why me and not you? It's just a mindset. Change your perspective. Change my perspective. Amen? Let's look at it. It says, oh, thank you. He'll build my house. Give me verse 35, verse 14. Next verse. Thank you. Thus saith the Lord, the labor of Jesus, merchant of Ethiopia and of Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over to thee, and they shall be thine. Now, he's not talking about ordinary men. He's talking about princes, captains of industry, people who are somewhat in the world, the Jay-Z's and what have you of this world. Amen? The Elon Musk of this world. Somebody said, yes. They're going to come to you and say, oh boy, how do you do that? What is your secret? And they say, yeah, come to Mount Zion. You come to learn the ways of God of Jacob. They said, come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee. You know, this is not a question of, you know, they're going to be running after you. You know why? Because God's goodness is already running after you. So they keep running after that goodness. They see you, God. And they're coming after. They're coming to find out from you. God, show me what you have to do. In chains they shall come over. Chains, they're not necessarily not physical, but in terms of, you know, spiritual chains that the enemy has put upon them. You know, chains of their lusts and desires and appetites that he can't get over. Next verse. You missed the skip the verse there. Go back. Verse 14. Thank you. And then they come, and this is not finished. This is not finished. And next part of, you missed out the best part. And they shall fall down unto thee, and they shall make supplication unto thee, saying, not a doubt, surely God is in thee, and there's no other God, there's no one else. Now, can you imagine this? I have a picture in my mind's eye. Someone like Bezos, what's his name? Jeff Bezos comes to our. He hears. I mean, you know, he has all this wonderful equipment that allows him to hear. He hears, and he comes to pastor in this house, and he comes to seek audience to pastor. And I know my father. He will ask him to come up, and he'll say, "All these things you are doing, There's no other way this can be. Now, you know, she's a Jew, so she knows God. She knows of God anyway. This cannot be except God is with you. Said, this is not a human being. And he says, he's going to fall down before you. He might not do it literally, but in his heart, he's already worshiping you as God. He said, because God is in you. I recognize this is not human. I don't know about you, but to me, these are some of the greatest times of human history that are coming down to us now. And so, God that has begun this good work, amen, he is going to finish it. Amen? He is finishing it already. We can see the beginnings of these things begin to spring forth. The mind of Christ is being established in his church gradually and gradually. I want to thank God for the wonderful instruction we received in this place. Even the lifestyle that we see. You know, these are not idle people. These are not people that before they tell us to do, they have done, they have almost perfected. They say, oh boy, there's good in this thing, I'll do it. And that was what been keeping us going all these years. We can see that perfection coming to pass. More and more we see that in their lives. We see that in their daily conduct. We see that when they speak, God listens. When they declare, God does. How many of you remember just a few weeks ago, we were talking about grain. Hello? Grain in Ukraine. Were you just talking? It was almost like, say, God, bless you. Because the whole world has to be fed. And then yesterday, I just saw on the news. I mean, I said, what? Said the grain ship. Today it has reached Turkey. Just by declaring the word of God. Oh. I mean, I don't know about you. Those are things that to me are signals that, hey, we have something precious, holy in this place that we need to hold on to. Both the example and the word. It's the word that produces the example, but the word and then the example. Let's be diligent. How much more does it take? 3-4 months? Even if it's not this, but we know because we see the first fruits. We know because we can declare the end from the beginning because the word of God says so. Amen? Isaiah 2. Hello, somebody. Verse 3. Isaiah 2 to verse 3. Oh, my goodness. I hope you're getting something out of this. I'm preaching you happy. I mean, not only if I'm preaching well, but I'm certainly happy. It says, and it shall come to pass. Tell your neighbor it has come to pass. Ha! It has come to pass. So that, then it was shall. Now it is come to pass because we are so close, that in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. And all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up. That's where we're going, folks. Up. Up. We're not going down. We're not going to stay in the same level. We're going up to the high places. Amen. I said, and it shall be, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. You know, the house of the God of Jacob is upon the mountain of the Lord. And he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Folks, this scripture is being fulfilled in our ears as we speak. We're in the last days. The mountain of the Lord's house is being established in the top of the mountains. We are not conjecturing. Hello? I gave you an example. There are other examples. I mean, you know, if you've been coming to Good Morning Jesus for some time now, I'm not saying that's the only place, but that's the place that I know of. Amen? When I see the word declared, and it comes to pass. Real time. And it's not just started now. It's been happening before, but you know, it's just that some of us, like Lydia and Cecil, were more privileged to see it happen. Amen? I don't know if anybody has ever heard of a guy by the name of Barack Obama. I don't know. Barack Obama was some black dude who was considered to be an upstart in 1984, the presidency. What's an upstart? How on earth can someone like Barack Obama want to be president of the United States, a black man? Impossible. He's not even an American anyway. And God said, oh yeah? Well, he's my chosen vessel. But you know, I tell you the truth, though. How do we know these things are surely coming? Because I'm talking about this. It says that the out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord. Jerusalem is not just a place. It's a people. You didn't catch that. Jerusalem is not just a place of people who are in that habitation of the house of the Lord. And I remember very clearly the first time Mommy declared that thing. Barack Obama, in fact, she was almost like, let me not say, but you know, being that we were her children, she decided to share what God was telling her, that Barack Obama is going to be the next president. The next president of the United States of America. That was how I laughed, you know. Who was it that laughed in the back when God spoke to you? It was Sarah laughed. Ah, in America, a black man to be president of the United States of America? Okay, all right. I said, if only God is God, can this be so? And so we began to pray here. Mom will declare, we'll say amen. Declare, say amen. We pray in pastor's house. Amen. When it started, I was like a dream. I can never forget that day of the presidential election itself. I went to collect diesel, and I put it to my generator that night. That diesel was a very noisy generator. It woke up the whole Adubo. They kept sending a message to me all night long. I said, please, Pastor, I'm here. Please switch off. We can't sleep. I said, this night, oh, history is being made in the black race. I'm going to see with my two eyes. These two eyes. Anyway, it's got a long story short. Barack Obama won. In spite of all the naysayers, the gay, in fact, the day people are stunned. Well, how can this be so? But you know what? Oh, Karakashin there, folks. Know your heritage, Joe. There was a group here under the authority of the fathers in this house declaring it every time we met. Barack Obama, President of the United States. Barack Obama, President of the United States. We prayed right here every Saturday. And then sometimes, you know, in other meetings also. What am I saying? The word of the Lord had gone forth. God watched over that word to perform it in spite of every physical, material, circumstantial. The guy was getting $5, $3. When was an old man would send $3, $5, $10. Built up a war chest of millions. Who said that you had to be a billionaire to be a president in America? To God be the glory. That happened. Hello, somebody. I'm telling that we have entered a new room. I don't know why I'm saying this, but I'm saying it. And I'm trusting that God will bring it to home, you know, in the end. The same thing is going to happen in Nigeria. The same thing. I was on online, one of my online program, on WhatsApp the other day, and I saw a treatise, a very long one. I took the pains to read it because this is a man of God. And I wanted to, this is a man of God that the whole world, well, the Christendom knows. I thought, let me hear what he has to say. I was a bit disappointed because I thought to myself, this man reads the Bible. I thought, it's not the same Bible that he preaches from that I hear preached every day. He said, there's no way this guy that we're believing God for can win. It's not possible. He doesn't have this, he doesn't have that, he doesn't have this, he doesn't have money, he doesn't have apparatus, he doesn't have kingdom. He has no local standing. He has. I said, he's a man of God, isn't it? Since when has it been money, materials, local standing, people you know, that determines who rules the earth? So I sent back Daniel chapter 4. The Most High rules, and he, not the people that elected him, he gives it to whomsoever he will, even to the basis of men. Hello, somebody. What I'm telling you is this, that this presidential, in this Nigeria, just like the Lord took it out of the hands of the politicians, out of the hands of the, they call them the pundits. You have these pundits. You have a Nigerian too. This one cannot happen. No. This has never happened before. It will not. It's not possible in Nigeria. Diviners make them mad. They ran mad when Obama became president. One guy ran mad so much he abused him in the house when he was talking. Said, "You lie." Everybody looked and said, "Because he's black." Let's forget that. But what do I say? That same word that has been preached and has been delivered and has been said with precision in concerning Nigeria, the next election, it will surely come to pass. Not because, you know, that guy has any apparatus or whatever. No. That's got nothing to do with it. But it is God that looks upon the heart. And if the heart is right, God will make the conditions right. And that will happen to the confusion and the confounding of any and every gainsayer or naysayer, whatever they can get together. Amen? Say to one another. Amen? Same thing. I give examples, you know, two or three words. I gave them also the example of South Africa. There's a guy who took a long walk to freedom. It was considered impossible for a black not only black, out of jail, and he became the president of that republic. Amen? Amen? Joseph was in prison. Folks, let me tell you something. Daniel was a slave too. Joseph was, but I mean, we're talking about those who were anointed head over there. Not those who were ruling in proxy. Daniel was ruling, but these are actually on the throne of their nation, right? And then Prime Minister. Secretary gave him the key. He said, he's only in the throne, I'll be above you. Everything else is under you. God does that. And God is going to do exactly the same. Why? Not because Nigeria is special, or because there's a God in Nigeria who has people who are dedicated, watching over God's word to bring it, to perform it, are declaring and are praying it into being. It is a sure word. Just like this, what I'm telling you, it's going to come to pass. God will move in this land. And out of Zion will go forth the law, and the word of the Lord will come out of Jerusalem and will bring forth God's end time purpose and God's end time plan. Amen? Folks, I'm going to close. Because I don't want to talk too much. I've already said a lot. We're in the greatest time of human history now. There's nothing that matters to God more right now and this manifestation we're talking about. Nothing. It's on the front burner of all that God is doing. Everything that's happening, everything God is allowing to happen on earth is a pointer to the fact that we're in that time. Everything that God is allowing to happen in the church is also a pointer to the fact that we're in that time. Everything that God has been saying concerning his church, you know, I will build my church, the gates of hell will not prevail, right from the time of Moses all the way up until now. Its imminence is right before us. And folks, I don't know about you, but like I said earlier, wild horses of any sort will not keep me from this particular outcome. That manifestation of the sons of God. I'm just going to flash and say, for this purpose and for this reason where you were born. That's it. From beyond the... You know... God was speaking to me the other day. He said, you're just very... God, he had mercy on me. That's just the truth. I was out of place, out of reason. I was looking for something else. But God engineered it by miraculous wonder. Brought me back to Nigeria. I wasn't here before. I said, Baba. Then I remember that very day. Can I ever forget that day? My younger sister said, Brother Aja, I love church. So that means, brother, please let go to church. I said, I beg. Don't disturb me, small matter. I'm telling you what I said. Don't disturb me. I said, my bro, so we have this wonderful. Brother Aja, let's go. So I said, I spent the last 4 years, my bedroom window opened up onto a church. And I didn't go. I said, I should come. I said, look, we have other things to think about. So I didn't go. Then God allowed me to do what I wanted. You know, God is very wise. You know, you do what you want to do. I did run, and then rugged. And I came home sick. I remember my bed. I said, are you really doing my way now? I said, Lord, what is your way? I said, I am the way. I didn't know that scripture. I am the way, the truth, and your life. I said, okay. So when my sister came the next Sunday, after about 3 weeks, I was sick. She said, Brother Jalo. I said, okay, let's go. And the rest is history. What am I saying? There is a reason why you are here now. Every one of us. It's not by chance. God doesn't do things by chance. God doesn't. How many people has God called that are not here? It's not by chance. This is a divine kairos moment set in time. And if you had any doubt, Go to the scripture. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, Isaiah chapter 18. When I saw that, I said, Lord, how? And I didn't understand. I just said, you're in the right place. Just stay where you are. Don't go anywhere. Don't move. Anybody who won't go make it, they go. You just stay. And folks, I'm telling you the truth. It's been worthwhile. You know, I say to myself, even if I, God forbid, I will, but if I don't inherit the glory, at least I'll go to heaven. I won't be in the earth when the Antichrist is doing all his rubbish and nonsense. That is the minimum. But I know that glory is imminent. I know that glory is available. I know that it is my, hallelujah, birthright in Christ. And you also too. You're not different from me. That you're here today, hearing these things, seeing these things pass upon the earth. God says, look up. Your redemption is nigh. It's not far anymore, folks. It won't be long. And it will come and appear in us. Redeem our bodies. But not only our bodies, redeem our brains. Bring us to a level of understanding, wisdom. Solomon was the bottom line. Pastor said the other day, the Israelites are 30-fold. The Israelites are 30-fold. And look what they have. They have turned this world already. They've turned this world upside down with their inventions. They have things that haven't even been released into the earth. They're just keeping them in their belly. They won't tell you it's there, but it's there. It only was, I mean, for example, when they were able to bring water out of air, thin air. This air here can give water, but nobody knew it. But they designed a machine that can bring water out. When did it come? When there was a drought in North Africa. So that machine, the moment they brought it out, I think Morocco bought like 4 or 5 or something like that. What they were doing before, they was putting out the something in the air that would catch water. Then they would come in the morning, they would carry it in drops, then they would refine it. And this is pure water from nothing. Folks, we are that people. God will make it, and he will make us like the firstborn, in Jesus' name. And so we give thanks this short preamble. We see this short word of exhortation. Amen. The Lord will have mercy upon us in Jesus' name. I believe the fathers are here. No, please. Hallelujah. Let me ask you a question. Everything I've said today, does it make sense to you? Does it make sense to anybody here? Please, if it makes sense to you, grab a hold of it with all your hands. Do it with all your heart. There's no other way to attain into this thing. This is what we have all been called to become. Perfect in Christ. A brain redeemed to the point that we become a marvel. First of all to yourself. And then to all generations henceforth. The Lord will have mercy. Have mercy upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give it a little clap offering. Amen, amen, amen. So we thank God for his mercy, and we're trusting that as we do this, as we continue in this manner, as we continue to seek the face of the Lord, as we continue to walk after the precepts of the fathers, all these things that we thought were totally impossible, could not be, will be our portion, one by one in Jesus' name. Amen. One day I'll come and see Prof here, and he will tell me that, oh, Pastor G, did you know that the Lord took me to Afghanistan last night? I said, what are you doing here now? I said, I finished. I preached to them overnight. And you're back in church. Have you ever heard of a guy called Philip? Okay. It's not. I don't know why I said that. Maybe you look like an Afghan. But that's what I'm saying. The vista is unlimited. There's nothing that God cannot do. There's nothing he cannot make you. All you have to be is to say, Lord, here I am. Send me. Little me, send me. I'm ready. I'm willing. And if you're ready and willing today, that's all God needs. He will take you there. He will make sure you enter into that fullness, and he'll bring us all into that perfection, that glory, that fullness of Christ that we're trusting for by the redemption of our brain, by the manifestation of the sons of God, through the power of the spirit of intercession, groaning and travailing till Christ be formed and perfected in us. And Lord, give us wisdom and understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, sir.
Which Pastor Wale providentially chose to be the article for today. And I said he should do a short exhortation on that. So what I'm going to do in these last few minutes, just about 10, 15 minutes, is to say a few things about that and then, you know, tie it to what this perfection school is all about. The school of perfection is teaching us that God's purpose for us as Christians is not just to get born again and to go to heaven, but also to grow spiritually into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And that has a profound effect on not just our spirits, but on our minds, our wills, our emotions, our physical bodies. And this aspect has not been emphasized in Christendom. In fact, in many places, not even believed. You know, people just think Christianity is to give you a good moral life, so your sins are forgiven, and you don't do bad things anymore. You don't steal, you don't kill. You know, you live above sin, at least moral sin, and then when you die, you go to heaven. That's true, but only a very small part of the full picture. The purpose of God is to make us like Him in a demonstrable way that men can see and appreciate. I was just listening to as a professor. I've never heard of him before, you know. But today I just saw his name on the internet, and you know, God exists. Those kind of things interest me. He's a I want to believe he's still alive. He's a little bit of an elderly man. His name is John Lennox. He's a professor of mathematics in Oxford University. And he's a born-again Christian, believes in Jesus and the resurrection. And he's always having these talks and debates with his atheist friends and the scientific community, you know, which many of them don't believe in God, and they believe in evolution and this random way that the universe came about. And you know, and he makes a very important point. Let's just pray for a minute. Let me just pray. I haven't prayed. Father, we thank you for bringing me safely as we just share in these last few minutes. I thank you for what you've said through Pastor Buega, and I just pray you anoint me afresh, help me speak as I should. Let your word come freely from you through me to your people to do a great work in all of our hearts, our wills to be more humble, minds more enlightened, and emotions more tempered and controlled by the power of your Spirit. We also pray the power of the Spirit of God be released in great and sufficient measure to break yokes, heal bodies, and cause men to become doers of the things that they hear and not hearers only. Pray for mercy to be faithful, so I will deliver this with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say. Bring out the treasure of your word, things new and old. In Jesus' name, amen. So I was talking about, interestingly, all these years, that's how things are. God makes you come across people. John Lennox, an elderly man, he's probably in his 80s, I'm sure. You know, he's a professor emeritus of mathematics in Oxford. And he said this to them. He said that, you know, what distinguishes Christianity from all the other religions is the resurrection. And then he went on to say, it's not just an abstract resurrection. It's a resurrection that is verifiable. In other words, when you believe and you accept it, it affects you. It will change your morals. It will change your thinking. It will change the way you relate, and all of that. You can see that resurrection life come into your heart and into your life, and you can see demonstrable evidence. Said the other things are philosophy. Philosophy, you can't, there's no evidence. It's just a lot of talk, you know. And in my thinking, what we shared in that article on the redemption of the brain, you know, I was blessed to be able to come. What happened today was that whenever we have these daily rhemas, I go through them myself, even though I wrote them, because I learned too. You know, so I always go back to the original article, not just the summarized one, which is done for Good Morning Jesus, so that it's, you know, compact. So I clicked on it and went back to the original article, which was written in 2014, I believe it was, or 2016, something like that. You know, and then there was a hyperlink in the article on autistic savants. I clicked on it, but that article is no longer on the internet. You say, you know, I think they've taken it off. So I now Googled autistic savants afresh. And that's how I came across the article I sent out today. And the scientists, you know, have observed. You see, we're not talking theory. We're talking about observable demonstration. Evidence that can be demonstrated. That's what is known as reality, not philosophy. So they wrote a report of, you know, different kind of, some people are born with it, some have an accident, then something happens to them, you know, and all these things I've preached over the years, you know, credible photographic memory, language learning ability, artistic ability, mathematical ability, and musical ability. These are being observed. They exist. In fact, after my message on Sunday, somebody, one of the people who follow us, you know, sent me a WhatsApp message of an artist that was drawing three different diagrams simultaneously. Simultaneously. With one hand, then there's a pencil here and a pencil here. So with one pencil was drawing, the other one was drawing this all at the same time. It's demonstrable, you know. And the man now asks at the end of the article I sent, he now says, is this thing a latent ability in all human beings? And is there a way to get it? That they don't have the answer, but the Bible has the answer. That is what we call the ability of the mind of Christ. The reason why it is true, it's there. But we don't have it because of sin. And it is this resurrection of this Jesus Christ that will trigger that. So that men will see it. The Bible says, they'll say, surely God is in you. You know, and that's the beauty of Christianity. It's not theory. It is something that Paul put it this way. He said, my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but by demonstration of the power and of the Spirit, that your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You know, and this professor, he also made another very important point. He said, all my atheist friends, and he has many, because in that community, he actually did his undergraduate in Cambridge, and then he now crossed over to to Oxford, you know, where he's a professor emeritus. You know, and he said that the problem with Christianity, the atheists and the people who don't believe in God, the problem they have is that once we talk about God, it has to be a personal God that can affect your morals. And people don't want a check on that. So it is convenient for me to say, I don't even want to believe in a God, because if I believe in a God, then he can tell me do this or don't do that. But if there is no God, then I can do what I like. You know? And Jesus said the same thing. he said that this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. This professor went on to say, he said that check any religion, Islam, Christianity, well, Christianity is not a religion, but for the sake of this conversation, you know, Buddhism, whatever, there's a common thread in all religions, and it's the thread of morality. What is known as the golden rule. You know, you won't do your to your neighbors. It doesn't matter which religion, it doesn't matter, even the people who are animists, even the people who worship all these false gods, you know, and everything, you know, it doesn't matter where, what time in history, wherever in the world, things like murder will always be wrong. Adultery will always be wrong. Stealing will always be wrong. Lying will always be wrong. You know, where do we get all that from? That's a universal, it's everywhere. Now, the difference in Christianity and all the ones is that all the other ones say you should try to do those things. But Christianity gives you the supernatural ability by changing your inner nature to do it. And that's why you can see the difference between the Christian, the ones who walk in the Spirit, you know, and the other people, you know. And so, this issue of the redemption of our brain is a major landmark that we must demonstrate before this age closes. It will, like I said so many times over the years, put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. See, people like us who are born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, we speak in tongues, we see the supernatural in our lives every day. But it's personal to us. And some people looking at what's going on, say, oh, that's coincidence. Well, now, to them, it looks like, oh, but we know it's not coincidence. You know, however, the redemption of the brain and the manifestation of the ability of the mind of Christ will be evidence that nobody can argue with. When it comes on a consistent basis, the same thing with what we would call what are miracles, you know, like turning water to wine, walking on water, raising the dead. When they are performed on a consistent basis, then it takes Christianity out of the realm of philosophy, out of the realm of religion, into reality that men can see evidence of. And then it shuts your mouth. That is why God does not want us as Christians to remain as spiritual babies. The present level of Christianity all over the world, and that has been so for the past 2,000 years, the Christian church has not developed spiritually beyond the little child level, basically, you know, over these last 2,000 years. So we live with sin. We overcome it to some degree, but we still live with it. We live with sickness. We live with calamities and evil. And we take consolation in the fact that, well, yes, those things are there, but thank God Jesus has got us the victory because he was raised from the dead. And when we die and we go to heaven, all of those things will be over and we'll be taught, which is true. I'm not doing away with that truth. But it is not a satisfactory explanation to the skeptic who is looking from the outside and he's saying in his heart to you and to me, where is your God? You talk. Demonstrate him. demonstrating. I remember, I'm going to close in a minute or two, but this is good stuff. You know, watching the movie, and I do this maybe like once every 1 year or something. Sometimes I just tell Ten Commandments. It was acted in, I think, 1956. They're all dead now. You know, Charlton Heston, Yul Brynner, you know, great movie. And the script was, of course, taken from the Bible. Then they also took a lot of historical facts and then put a little bit of drama there, you know. But basically, most of it was correct. And there's a scene in that movie that I always remember, you know, when I'm talking about things like this. It was Moses. Moses, at that time, he hadn't yet known God. He was still prince of Egypt. You know, and he was a great prince, and he was a great architect. He was building this treasure city for the Pharaoh. And they were using, blocks and all of that, the pyramids, you know. And one of the blocks almost killed a Hebrew woman, an old Hebrew woman, whose cloth got, you know, caught into the stone as they were trying to push the stone in. And this is not in the Bible, but, you know, I think the script writers put it. What they did was good, you know. So when one of the stone cutters, who happened to be Joshua, you know, saw that they were going to kill the woman by pushing the stone in, he jumped from where he was and got them to stop pulling the stone. So the taskmaster, you know, the master builder, you know, the taskmaster over the Hebrew slaves was very angry and said, why did they stop, you know, killing the, you know, pushing the stone? If the woman had died, it doesn't matter. You know, slaves, 100 slaves die every day. The important thing is to finish this thing. So they wanted to, they captured Joshua and wanted to flog him. So the woman now said, run to the pavilion and go and ask mercy from the prince. Then Joshua said, mercy from Ramses? He said, no, Prince Moses. So he runs to Moses, you know, and Moses is a prince. He's in charge of all the project and everything. So the man runs to the Prince Moses, you know, and says, mercy, 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 you know. Not for myself, but for an old woman. They want to, you know, they would have smashed her and killed her. The stone would have crushed her. Her blood would have, and then the stone would go in for this thing. So Moses now comes down from the pavilion, and he looks at this terrible scene where they were going to kill this old woman. The film, you know, the film script writers are good. They made it his mummy. Now, whether that happened in real life, we don't know. You know, but, you know, it was his mom. You know, of course, he didn't know it was his mother because he was son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was just an old Hebrew woman. But she knew because she and Miriam were the one that gave the baby to Pharaoh's daughter. But, of course, Moses did not know it was his mommy. So he now said, you know, he now calls the master builder. He said, you know, why do you want to be the slave? He just saved an old woman. So the guy now told him, if we stop the stone for every woman, old woman, he said, that's why we use the old ones, you know, for greasing the stones. Because, you know, if they die, it doesn't matter. They're old and they're slaves. And then I can never forget it. The guys who wrote that script, they wrote it properly. He said, blood makes poor mortar. You can't use blood to grease something, you know. Then he now cuts the cloth and frees the woman. So the woman now says, one day God will deliver us from our afflictions and all of that. You know. And then Joshua says, you know, God will deliver. Says if you're then Moses tells him he was a prince, 30-year-old. You know, 30, 40-year-old, you know. He said, if your God is so powerful, why does he leave you in bondage? If your God is so powerful, how come he leaves you in bondage? Then Joshua answered and said, he will deliver us and he will give us a deliverer. He didn't know he was looking at Moses the deliverer. You know, and then the movie goes on. You know, people are asking us that same question today. They may not say it in words. You know, we talk a lot. We Christians, well, you know, God forbid, it's not my portion. And all our Christianese, you know, but much talk, little action. Why? Spiritual immaturity. Spiritual immaturity. Because we, you know, who? Let me stand to your feet. I got to stop. But you know what Jesus said when he was around? His detractors, the scribes and the Pharisees and all these people, you know, he opens the eyes of a man that was born blind. You know, and they criticize him and everything. So they don't believe. It's in John chapter 9. So they go and call the parents. There's something, brethren, about tangible power that nobody can deny. They call the parents. They said, is this your son that you say was born blind? The parents cannot lie. So they said, we know this is our son. And we know that he was born blind. But how he sees, we don't know. He is of age. Ask him. So, they're still very angry and all of that. They did that so that they won't remove them from the synagogue. You know, so they now knew it was true. That, you know, the boy was born blind and all that. So, then I come back to the boy and say, give God the praise. But as for this man, you know, we don't know where he's from. You know, we're Moses' servant. So, Jesus now says this later on. He said that, if I had not done amongst them a work that nobody has, then they had a cloak for their sin. He said, but now they don't have any excuse for their sin. It was a miracle. They couldn't deny it. And when we can talk like that, he said, I have done a work amongst you. That boy, that guy who got healed, the guy whose eyes was blind, you know, they said, how did he make you blind? See, he said, this man called Jesus. He said, he told me that he took clay. He put it on my eyes. He said, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. He said, I washed and I came see. You know? And then he began to say, you know, how could he have done this kind of thing? Then he said to him, he said, you know, he's a prophet of God. He said, shut up. You know, Moses is a prophet. You know, where do you know him from? He said, hearing is a marvelous thing. Hearing is a marvelous thing. Since the world began, watch it. What a testimony. Has he ever heard of a man that made somebody that was born blind to see? He said, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. That is the kind of testimony we need. So Jesus could then confidently say that if I had not done amongst them a work that nobody else. And when we start seeing incredible photographic memory, and we start seeing incredible, in that article I sent to you today, there was one of the subjects that was, they were telling about, you know, he had an accident or something, he hit his head, you know, when he went on a skiing, if I remember rightly, you know, and then he had this desire to listen to music. He went to go and start listening to Tchaikovsky and Chopin and Beethoven, and his heart played flawlessly. That's demonstrating. You can't argue with that. Someone like me, for example, I always make fun of myself. You know, I can't draw a yam. Yeah. But the day and hour is coming and now is. When I'll just look at you like this, and I'll draw you perfect. It'll be almost as good as a picture. Then you can't argue with it. And then I don't do it in 2 hours. I do it in 10 minutes. So we're going to see physical miracles, healing the sick, raising the dead, you know, cleansing lepers on a consistent. You see, that's, it's not this one that happens once in 6 years. Once in 10 years. And then the atheists will say, oh, oh my, it's just a fluke. You know, the Bible says we're into villages and cities and that country. Wherever he went, they brought out the sick and they laid them, you know, in something. And virtue went out of him and healed them all. Let that happen in Ibadan. Let it happen in London. Let it happen in Tokyo. Let it happen in Moscow. Let it happen in Riyadh, in Saudi Arabia. Who won't listen to us? Who will not listen to us? That's why these past 40-something years, I've been a Christian now, 43 years, I very quickly, in the first 2-3 years, I saw the problem. I had had a real experience. I knew Jesus was real. I had spoken in Hebrew, in Aramaic. I spoke in tongues. I prayed for revelation. I had, you know, so you can, I've been healed in my body. You cannot tell me, Christian, I know it's real. I Olubi had the evidence, but that's for me. And of course, if I preach and I teach people, some people believe and some people got born again, you know, and God filled. Like Pastor Boyega, for example, God filled the Holy Spirit when he came to Scripture. Pastor, nobody prayed for him. Nobody prayed for him. It was just inside the service, just like speaking tongues. And there's so many like that. Funola Johnson, whose children came to life for. And she and her husband, Tokes, they have this church, the Cornerstone, Cornerstone, is it Cornerstone Church? You know, in Lagos. She had exactly the same. She told me, he said, Pastor, I just came to church. He said, I don't know, I was, you know, we're still in British National School. He said, I just started speaking in tongues. There are hundreds like that, all over the world. To the soul, we have, but you see, it's not enough. Yeah. We've seen the sick healed. We've seen, you know, people get blessed. We've seen miracles, but it's not enough. I got to close. But I'm on a roll. You know, it was E.W. Kenyon. These were the things I learned in my early Christian life. He said, new land ahead. Is, I think in his book called The Wonderful Name of Jesus. E.W. Kenyon wrote that book in 1920. It's over 100 years and the church has still not entered it. We're just about to enter by the grace of God. He said, new land ahead. He said, the resurrection life of the Son of God, I'm paraphrasing, needs to be demonstrated amongst us. He said, many of us, and E.W. Kenyon, Kenneth Hagin, Smith Wigglesworth, he was talking about all that group, you know, of the early 20s, early 20th century, you know, that saw miracles. He said, we've seen this. We saw the sick healed. He said, we've seen the lame walk. We've seen the blind see. We've seen those on the verge of death instantly brought back to health. He said, but so far, that was what struck my thinking. He said, but so far, none of us have been able to get to a place where we enjoy this power on a permanent basis. He said, but we have a conviction that before the Lord Jesus Christ returns, there will rise a mighty army of believers. Watch this. Who will learn the secret of reigning in life, of living the resurrection transcendent life of the Son of God amongst men. He said, right now, we are still in the baby stage. We come to church, each convincing the other to do what he himself is not doing. He says, it would seem that we are playing a game of bluff. That's what's motivating me. So once I saw that as my early Christian, I stopped wasting time. you know, go for crusade, make noise all over the open. Because I knew without certain growth, there's a limit to what you're going to get. So I concentrated on growth. New Testament, chapter Matthew to Revelation. I want to find out. Then I zeroed in on the four Gospels, which is what we're teaching in this School of Perfection. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I particularly took John apart. I, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. To what makes this man tick? How did he do it? And I knew he didn't do it because he was God. He did it not as God. He did it as a son of God. What is the secret? And that's what we've been sharing. And that's what you're like. Because until we demonstrate this thing, Pastor Breaker, on a, like E.W. Kern said, on a, we said, none of us have been able to get to this place where we enjoy this power on a permanent basis. Jesus didn't have flukes. He goes into the house. Two blind men come and meet him. He's sitting now. They said, you know, you can give us our sight. You know, he said, you know, we want our sight. He said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. They are healed instantly. John says, if the things that he did were to be written, he said, the world will not be able to contain the books that would have been written. And watch this, only for a 3-year span. Brethren, we have work to do. Stop wasting time. A lot of Christians are spending energy in the wrong direction. They are beating the air. Concentrate that we may grow up into Him in all things. Then I will be able to do. He said, the works that I do, you will do and greater. When you do that, you do it and then you do it consistently. The unbeliever and the kings will come to the brightness of our eyes. They will not come and say, where is your God? They won't say, where is your God anymore? They will say, take us to your God. They will say, surely God is you. Pharaoh told Joseph, he said, no, there's a great revelation there. You know, all Joseph did, watch this, was he interpreted the dream. 7 years of famine and seven years of plenty and 7 years of famine. That was all the dream said. What Joseph now told them was not in the dream. Watch this. The dream was revelation, but what Joseph said was wisdom. You can have revelation and not have wisdom. Prophets usually specialize in revelation. They'll tell you what God said, but it takes the apostolic anointing to have the wisdom of what to do with what God has said. So it was Joseph now said to them, he said, now, that was not part of the dream. He said, look here amongst you, a wise man, who in the 7 years of plenty, let them store up the food. So when the 7 years of famine come, the people will not be impoverished. Then Pharaoh and his counselors, and it's going to happen today. They said, from where shall we find such a man? These are atheists. These are idol worshippers who don't know the true God. But God, they had an epiphany. God, he says, from whence is this? Shall we find a man in whom is the Spirit of God? He said, inasmuch as God has shown this to you, there is no one that will be as wise, unbeliever, idol worshiper, recognize God when he saw it. So shall it be in our time.
Amen.
Let's talk to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Oh, I long for this glory. I long for this glory. I long. Nothing, you know, all this other stuff. He said, this beginning of miracles did Jesus and manifested. Until that thing comes, everything we're talking is theory. It's not theory to us. But you see, to the uninitiated, if we can use that, it's theory. To the unlearned and the unstable. But to us, we know it's true. Because we've experienced it. Our hearts have changed. But you see, my change is internal to Olubi Johnson. My revelation is internal to Olubi Johnson. But when I now have incredible photographic memory, and I cleanse lepers, I yet not I, but the Spirit of God within me, and I raise the dead on a consistent basis, then it's no longer personal to me, you know. Then it becomes something that affects everybody. Then they have to pay attention. Hallelujah. Can we say, we sang it on Sunday, but somehow I feel like singing it again. I've made you too small in my eyes. You know that's our problem.
I have made you too small in my eyes. Oh Lord.
Please.
Please forgive me.
And I believe in a lie, and it's a lie.
And I have believed in a lie. Yes, it's a lie.
That you were unable to
help me.
But now,
oh Lord,
I see my wrong.
I see my wrong.
Heal my heart.
Please heal my heart. Heal my heart.
Oh, yes.
And
show yourself strong.
Made you too small in my eyes. One more time.
I have made you too small in my eyes. Oh Lord, my God, please forgive me. Forgive me. And I have believed in a lie. Yes, it's a lie.
That you were unable to help me.
But now
alone,
I see my wrong.
I see my wrong.
Heal my
Please
heart.
Heal my heart. Heal my heart. Lord,
and show yourself strong.
And in my heart. And in my heart.
Glory to God.
Oh Lord.
your heart. Raise your other hand to God.
Oh Lord,
my eyes are on you.
Be magnified.
Oh, put those eyes on him. The eyes there is your mind. The eyes there. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. That's a problem with our Christianity. Most of us, our eyes are.
Be magnified, oh Lord. Be magnified.
Raise that hand. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Father, I repent of the sin of unbelief. These things that I have heard, oh Lord, have mercy on me. Help thou my unbelief. Help me see the way you see, so that my thoughts will be like your thoughts and my ways will be like your ways. I repent of the sin of unbelief. I receive the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. I receive fresh life and power into my spirit and my soul, my will, my mind, my emotions, my body, my circumstances, so I'll begin to pursue this glory, this manifestation of the Spirit without measure, so that I can put to silence the ignorance of foolish men in my generation. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you, Zalekri. Lambrikito Fridisk. Jalekaro. Father, thank you, Zalabrikitolo Matolomato Frides. Lord Jesus, Apridela Matolomato Frides. Lord Holy Spirit, thank you. Labrikitolomato Frides. Thank you for your blood, Labrikishko Frene. For your life, Shalabraga. For your power, Nikito Fridi. Ambrega. Ambrega Kromatolomato Fred. Celebre into our wills, la prikalamatufrenes, into our minds, la prikitolomatufrenesk, into our emotions, la prikitofrenes, into our physical bodies, ratuskufrene gardolo, into our circumstances, la prikatushkufrenea, into our regional heavenlies, rena tushkufrene, insufficient measure, ranera rakatushkufre, noskufrene, in Jesus' name. If you are home, if you need healing for your body, just stretch forth your hands towards your device. If you're here physically present, just stretch forth your hands. It's an act of faith. Jesus, even with a spirit without measure, he always demanded a small measure of an act of faith. Either tell them to go and wash, or he will tell them to take up your bed and walk. Some little thing. It won't be something much. He always demanded that. When lepers he cleansed, he said, go show yourself to the priest. The Bible says they were healed as they went. I come to see that. With spirit without measure, no spirit without measure. If there's no little act of faith, it won't. In Nazareth, he could do no mighty work there because of their unbelief. Stretch forth your hand. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We release the healing power that is already in your word. The Bible says you sent your word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions into the physical bodies of these people who are stretching forth their hands. And we command a healing and a cure in Jesus' name. We come against the spirits of infirmity, the spirit of oppression, the spirits of depression. We cast you out. We destroy your works system. We bind you. We set your minds free. We say the spirit of soundness of mind be imparted unto you in Jesus' name. Say, Lord, have mercy on us to receive your blood.